Now, I want you to see this. I want you to see that the problem is the elder son focused on the sin rather than on the repentance. He couldn't get his eyes off the sin. He wanted his younger brother to be punished. And that's exactly what was wrong with these Pharisees. They want God to punish these other guys. That's how wicked their hearts are. And you know, I want to go on record before we finish this very quickly now by saying that's one of the problems in this room tonight. And that's one of the reasons why we're studying this. Some of you are just enjoying. See, it's kind of like the Baptist preacher preaching about drinking. But I told you, oh, hallelujah, preach on drinking. I love it because I don't drink. I love to hear those messages. But the problem in this room tonight is that many of us in this room are just like this elder brother. See, it's not just them. It's us too. We are the elder brother. Some of us in this room were the first boy. But some of us are the elder brother. We can't rejoice when certain people we know start coming to church. What's he doing here? Church is no place for him. He and his kind. Remember over in Houston, a preacher at one of the large churches told this to me. Said he'd been the minister of this woman for 17 years. Back in the 60s, you remember the Jesus movement. Swept through the young people, the druggies and all of them. They were getting saved. And a bunch of them came to his church. And a bunch of them were getting saved. It's a long story, but the main thing is literally hundreds and hundreds of these hippies were getting saved. These flower children were getting saved. Lee used to be one of those. And one of the young girls had just gotten born again the night before. And so she came, the next day was Sunday. And she came and was sitting in church. Now, she's hours old. She's just been born again. And she sits down beside this woman. And she said, I've just been a Christian since yesterday, since last night. And the woman looked at her and said, then why don't you dress like one? Dear Father. So when service was over, the little girl came down to pastor and said, Preacher, what do Christians dress like? Sure, her dress was way too short. Sure, her blouse was way too low. But you know, little babies don't know. They're brand new. You train babies. Did you ever revile a baby that wet its pants? Look at you wetting your pants and messing up your diaper. Look at all that food on your face. You don't do that to babies, do you? And the pastor said, well, I don't understand what you're saying. I don't understand what do you mean, how do Christians dress? She said, well, I want to know this woman. And she told him the story. And I want to dress like Christians dress. Pastor said he broke down and wept. And the thing that he wept over was the fact that he had been that woman's pastor 17 years and had not been able to change her wicked heart any better than that. It broke his heart. He felt like a total... Do you understand that a pastor at a time like that feels like a total failure? But I want to tell you something. He could have done the best job of preaching during those 17 years ever been done. And she just had a heart mean as hell itself, that's all. She was like this elder brother. Couldn't rejoice. See, she should have rejoiced with the girl for at least 2 or 3 days. Do you know she wouldn't have had to tell that girl? Did you know that she wouldn't have had to tell her? Did you know that just a couple of times there, the girl would have looked around and noticed? And if she had, between the girl noticing and the Holy Spirit, you know what I mean? She'd have caught on. Couldn't we love her with that little dress a little too short there for just a few days in the meantime? I think so. Now, I want you to see that this boy is not a true son. Both boys, now listen to me. As we read this, I want you to see the truth. Both sons were wicked. Watch this. Now the elder son was in the field. He came, he drew near the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said, your brother is come and your father has killed the fatted calf. Listen, that boy knew what that meant. That was that special calf. sitting back there getting fattened up for the feast when the boy comes home. Verse 28, and he was angry. He would not go into to the feast. Well, how's a father going to handle that? What's God? Listen to me. What's God really like? Here is a religious person so wicked they won't rejoice over someone that's gotten saved. Now listen, you see why Jesus is telling the story? At the beginning of this parable, the Pharisees were miserable that Jesus was eating with sinners and with tax collectors. All through the scriptures, they keep saying that to him. Your master eats with sinners. Well, what's God's attitude toward wicked people like that? You know, that's pretty wicked. Wouldn't you agree? That's a pretty hard heart. Let's see if God wants to burn them in the fire and boil them in oil. Let's see God's attitude. In other words, these men are going to get to see how God, not only do they need to repent, but how God is willing to receive them. Look what happens. Therefore came his father out and pled with him, entreated him, tried to explain and show him. In other words, Jesus is showing that's exactly what's happening to them right now. That God was now trying to explain to them what was wrong. It was their heart and their understanding of God that was all screwed up. Even at that moment, Jesus was pleading with them, showing them the true case. Now listen to me, a true son ought to be like his father. That's what I'm getting at. A true son ought to be like his father, like father, like son. A true son should have been like his father. How was his father? Rejoicing. This brother should have been rejoicing. But see, his attitude is exactly that of the Pharisees. And so they should have perceived. Hence, this boy has never had real fellowship with his father, nor had the young one, because he wasn't a true son. True sons. Now, have you got the picture? One boy had no heart, had no fellowship with the father because he was so outwardly wicked. He was a rebel from the core. That's the younger boy. No fellowship. Couldn't wait to get away from home. Now the older boy has stayed home, but there's no fellowship. See, his heart is nothing like the daddy's. Quick to forgive. Ran down the road and kissed the boy before he could say anything. What's God like? Quick to forgive, full of compassion, has love that is not based on performance. But I want you to observe something else, very important that I get over. The boy would not be received till he was ready to turn from his sin and go to his father. You do have to repent. The father honored the boy's choice, but never quit hoping the boy would come back. Moreover, it was real faith. He was prepared, had the calf all fatted up. It wasn't defeated hope. Some of you have children that are lost, parents that are lost, loved ones that are lost, and you're defeated in it. This boy, this father wasn't. You quit being defeated. Are you praying to God? Well, then why are you don't you believe in prayer? If you don't, aren't you kind of dumb to be praying? And if you are praying, don't you know who it is you're praying to? Don't you know that this God can bring circumstances to bear on that person you're praying for where there's nothing left? Just like this boy, there's nothing left. This father, don't you know this father's been praying? He didn't pray that there'd be a famine and the boy'd go broke. That thought probably never even occurred to him. But that's what it took. And see, God is a father. Now you hear what God's really like. God is a father that loves us so much, he'll let the worst thing you can imagine happen to you to get you to get right. Even so bad that pig food was starting to look pretty darn good, you were so hungry. He knew he couldn't eat it, he would regurgitate. You know, if you can't keep it down, it doesn't do any good to eat it. But look at it. The father came out and entreated him. Verse 29, and he, the boy, answering, said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time. Well, son, you're just gooder than Aryan angel, aren't you? I mean, you know, you're too good to be true. I never will forget One time when Shirley and I were first married, I took this test. It was called Rate Your Mate. There were about 50 questions, and Shirley wasn't there to take it, so I answered the questions for her. And you have to remember, you know, I've told you so many times what an arrogant and prideful man that I was. So when I answered all these questions as honestly as I could about myself, and I totaled up the score to see, you know, how your mate rates, there were all kind of categories, you know. One was, you know, the very bottom was, you know, you need to see a judge, you know. There was just all kind. One was you need to talk to your parents, you know, just all kind. Well, the top score was, send him to the museum to be framed. He's too good to be true. And that was the score I made. So I showed that to Shirley when she got home, and she had a few comments to make. So I understand how wickedness and pride can blind you to what you really like. Now notice what he said. Neither transgressed I at any time your commandments, and yet you never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. Poor little me. Now, do you see that this is the Pharisee? The Pharisees rejected the counsel of John the Baptist that they needed to repent. No, at no time have we broken the commandments. You see, what he was saying was outwardly. Outwardly, this boy was not like the first boy. The first boy was outwardly a rebel. This boy was not. Had you been there, you'd have thought he was a good boy. But you see, he was not a good boy because he didn't have a heart like his father. How do you know? His father is rejoicing and he isn't. This boy has a heart mean as hell itself, but nobody in town knows it. Everybody in town thinks he's a fine Christian boy. And it's the goodness of the father that showed what both boys' hearts were truly like. The goodness of this father to receive the outward sinner back showed what was in the other boy's heart, just like the Pharisees. When Jesus received these overt sinners, the Pharisees couldn't stand it. They should have been like Jesus, glad to see them, ready to repent. Now, do you notice what he's accused of? Hey, and here's how you can tell what his heart's really like. He's just accused his father of not being fair. He has now judged his daddy. You're not fair to me. You never gave me a kid. Look what the daddy says. Well, then he goes on and makes his complaint in verse 30. But as soon as this, thy son was come. Notice what he called him, thy son. Watch, the daddy's going to pick up on that and straighten him out in the next verse. Thy son. Hey, you mamas and parents, daddy's in here. Haven't you ever done that? When the kid does something bad, you turn to your husband and say, your daughter, you want to know what your daughter did this morning? You know? See, this isn't any mystery story. We can figure this one out. But as soon as this, thy son was come, who has devoured thy living with harlots, you have killed for him the fatted calf. The fatted calf. You see what he's saying? He thinks the boy deserves punishment. And I want to straighten you all out on this. Listen to me. The wickedness in our hearts. When Christians that you know sin outwardly, overtly, you know they've been committing adultery. You know they've been stealing. You know they've been lying. You know they've been drinking. You know they've been playing around with drugs again. And now you see them in church. What's your attitude? Can you believe it? She's here. Are you beginning to see it? I'm glad you can see it because now we know what you're like. You're like these Pharisees and this older brother. See, it's you, if the shoe fits. And if it does, don't feel bad. Don't feel bad. Judge it as wickedness and repent. And you'll go out of here feeling great. You see, that's the problem with the fallen nature. It stinks. We just think they deserve to go to hell. No, no, no. I don't want to see them get... I want to see them go to hell. They did it after all Jesus did for them. They deserve to burn. And we're disappointed when they don't. All of a sudden, they come back, they repent, their wife takes them back, their job, they get a new job, they're making more money than ever, and we're miserable. And we're like this guy, ooh, and we whine to God. Oh, God, how can you let, I lost my job, and I've never, and I'm walking with you, led 10 people to Jesus, reading my Bible every day. You're making me sick like this guy. Trying to, you know, show God that you are worthy of his favor and his blessings. And we need to understand that in Revelation, in chapter 5, a search was made throughout all heaven and the earth and under the sea for anyone that was worthy. And not even Mary was found to be worthy. You Catholics? And not one angel was found to be worthy. Only one was found to be worthy, and it was Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, can you picture the scene? If you were the Father, what would you do? Can you see, hey, what is Father really like? We're getting to see what he's like in both cases. With the first son, the youngest son, and now this other son, who's really got as a heart as wicked as the other boy did. But with him, he's the one that sneaks in the whorehouse in the back door. The other boy walked right in the front door and says, honey, Stud Charlie's back. He's proud. But both are the same. Don't you see what I'm getting at? One's one that says, man, I can drink anybody under the counter. He's proud of his sin. That's the first boy. The other one sneaks off in his car by himself, sneaks out in the closet, and does his sin in sneaking. But he's still wicked. Now, how's the father going to handle this second boy? We saw how compassionate he was for the first. Going to be good to know. Us daddies need to learn how to handle kids. Verse 31. And the father said unto him, son, you are ever with me, and all that I have is yours. You know what he just said? Son, you just complained that I never gave you a kid that you could have all your friends over to feast? It wasn't my fault. You never ask. Everything I have is yours. You're my boy. It wasn't my fault. The fact that you're not getting blessings from me isn't my fault. The kid's been there. It was fitting that we should make merry and be glad. Can I say that? Do y'all do that at your church? I mean that. Think about this, Christian. When people come down, are y'all glad? No, I'm going to tell you what happens. At the typical church, the preacher has the new converts come down at the front at the end of the service and says, now y'all come down and welcome them. At best, you know, it's not very glad most of the time. It's not a real, you know, hallelujah. But most people are looking at their watch because it's now 12:05 and are heading to the back door to get out of there. I got something to say to you if you like that. You're not like God. You're like this elder brother. You should be rejoicing. It's a good night. Aren't you glad you came so you can do some repenting? Glory to God. For this thy brother was dead. Oh, he straightened him out. Verse 30, your son, he said, this thy brother. Amen. He said, just because you don't like him and want to see him get punished doesn't make any difference. You don't get to choose in this life who your family is. And that's right, in the family of God, you don't either. Some of you in this room tonight may not like what I said, may not even like me, and can't wait till this is over. But if you're born again, you stuck with me. I'm kin to you forever. You don't get a choice in this matter. And the daddy's reminding him of it, Joel, reminding him of it. He was dead and he's alive again. He was lost and is found. Did you see it? God does not reject. This is what we're learning here. God does not reject repentant sinners. But I want you to know, we don't know whether that older brother ever went in. The story ends. We don't know whether he went in or not. And don't you see, that's exactly right. It was left like that because the Pharisees had not yet repented. And what Jesus was teaching them is, the ball's in your court. Everything God has is yours. If you want to come into the feast, you're going to have a change of heart and repent like this other bunch did, these overt sinners. And God, he tried to show them, if you'll repent, God will receive you. You got it? See, it's the sinners that reject God. God doesn't reject repentant sinners. So, beloved, summing it up, that both sons were wicked, the younger one outwardly, neither had their father's heart and the father's goodness, his love, his compassion, his forgiving heart revealed both hearts, both sons' hearts. A good son is like his father who is rejoicing. And it's Micah 6:8 once again. He has shown the old man what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, to love mercy. See, the elder son did not love mercy. Not for others. For himself, oh yes, but not for others. And to walk humbly with his God. Would you stand? It's my duty to let you hear both sides. If I'm going to give you the truth of the heart of God, it's my duty to let you know what would happen to some of those Pharisees if they didn't repent. What would happen to the ones that wouldn't? Jesus has really gone all out to get them all to repent. I want you to see the compassion and the love of God to go so strong to get those hypocrites to repent. Most of us would have written them off. I'm reading from John chapter 3, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That's the total picture of God's heart. God hates sin, searches for sinners, diligently looks for them, and does everything he can to bring them to repent. Truly, the way of the sinner is hard. Would you pray with me? God bless you.